Hello, and welcome to this call-in show with Senator Lyman Hoffman. I'm your host, Anna Rose MacArthur, and this is a chance for you, the constituents of the YK Delta, to ask your questions and voice your concerns to Senator Hoffman, who is joining us from his office in Juneau. Hi, Senator Hoffman.
Hello. It's a little bit chilly here, maybe 20 degrees, but the wind is blowing, so it feels a lot colder. But at least the sun's shining, so things are picking up here in the Senate, and the House is working on the operating budget, going through some 400 amendments on the House Finance Committee.
Sounds beautiful, and we're also having a lovely sunny day here in Bethel. And if you are in Bethel, join the conversation. Call 543-5985. If you're in the Villages or outside Bethel, call toll-free at 1-800-995-8954. Or you can send us an email at radio@kyuk.org. So, Senator Hoffman, this week Governor Walker introduced legislation to more tightly regulate and monitor opioid prescribing among healthcare providers in the state. I don't know if you've had a chance to look at this. Is there anything you would add or take away from this proposed legislation?
Well, I talked with a doctor, she used to work in Bethel, and she said that what we should do is try to monitor or audit the top 10 people that prescribe opioids, primarily to see, because the amount that is being prescribed in the state of Alaska seems to be exorbitant, and to see if there's any abuse there, which seems to be an excellent idea. This is Martha Cotton, who used to be a doctor in Bethel.
So this is an idea that you would add to this legislation?
I think I would discuss it with other people to see if it has merit.
Okay, and we have a caller. We have Ayaprune on the line.
Yes, good afternoon, Lyman and Anna Rose. I'm just calling because there's what's going around in the little villages, especially regarding the elders, that they're not understanding what's going on, and they would like to know what, you know, what Lyman is saying on the radio, but they can't because they can't understand. And this kind of brings up the issue where same thing happened when they were working on ANWR, and it's not really fair for the elders to sit there and wonder what the heck Lyman is saying or what the subject is, or especially with the borough that's come up lately. I don't think they understand what it
is. So, Ayaprune, would you like us to translate into Yupik? Is that what you're asking?
Yes. For those elders out there in the villages, so they could know what the heck is being discussed on radio, and I know that they really want to be, you know, involved.
Mm-hmm. I think that's an excellent suggestion, and we can definitely talk about that. The whole point of these call-in shows is to provide accessibility and transparency, and that will certainly lead us in that direction. Ayaprune, thank you so much. Do you have another question or comment?
Just kudos to Hoffman in the big city, and same thing with the other guy. I'm sorry. I can't think right now, but kudos to you guys. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. We have another.
Thank you very much.
We have another caller on the line. We have David Galila. Hi, David. Do you have a question for Senator Hoffman?
Yeah, my main question is in reference to the borough. How, in reference to his plan, is the borough going to be funded if it is established within a region? As he probably knows, we are in a refuge system, and most of the communities were federal town sites. So, how is he going to fund the borough system if it is formed? That's just my main question. All right, thank you.
Thank you, David. What I envision would be that it would be funded from the royalties or payment in lieu of taxes that the borough would receive from Donlin Creek and not from from any form of levy of taxes on the people of the borough. But all of that would be decided when the language was being voted upon.
And the Senate Finance Committee, which you chair, is looking to make up to $300 million in cuts this session. Senator Hoffman, how will you know when you've struck the balance between stabilizing the state government and still having an operating government and keeping the economy afloat?
Well, that is an excellent question. What we have right now is about a $3.2 billion deficit. So that is $3,200 million that we are not receiving revenue coming in to balance our books. So we are contemplating the use of a bill to what the governor is saying is stabilizing the dividend program, which has, he calls it the Permanent Fund Protection Act, which, if adopted, will ensure that the dividends would stay about the average, about $1,000, and a portion of those earnings would be used on a long-term basis, which would bring the deficit down to about $850 million. The $300 reduction, if achieved, and I don't think that that's going to be achieved, would bring the deficit down to still a half a billion dollars. So additional revenues need to be looked for or reductions sought. I don't think that we are looking at answering that question this year. We're looking at the reductions, whatever they may be, and pass the legislation. The legislation, I think, is the most key from many people's viewpoint throughout the state of Alaska. You might recall that the Senate passed Senate Bill 128 last year, and they were not able to deal with that particular piece of legislation on the House side. The this year, the bill is Senate Bill 26, which was introduced by the governor, and we had passed that bill out of the Senate Finance Committee this morning, so it's going to be read across and be addressed by the legislature, I would envision, sometime next week, and then pass that over to the other body, which will give them a little more than 30 days to try to deal with it. When they received that bill last year, we were in special session all the way into June, so hopefully they have enough time to deal with it. So it is a must-have for the for the governor. It is supported by many people across the state, and I'm supporting it primarily because it does it passes two tests for me. One is that it continues to it will continue to have the permanent fund itself continue to grow. And it will initially cap the dividend at $1,000 per person, but over time, after that, it will start to grow again. It was stated by the commissioner that if we do not take any action to address this deficit of $3 billion over the course of several years, the dividend would be completely eliminated. Because we would be forced to use more and more of the resources on government or come up with a sizable tax. So I think that the answer is I don't think that we can predetermine when we reach that cut, but or what is an adequate level of cutting until possibly next year. We're focusing on the reductions this year and passage of a major piece to fix the deficit, which would, like I said, would be less than $1 billion. Right now it's $3.2 billion.
You're listening to a call-in show with Senator Lyman Hoffman. If you're in Bethel, call us at 543-5985. If you're outside Bethel, call toll-free 1-800-995-8954 or email radio at kyuk.org. And we have Helen on the line. Hi, Helen.
Good afternoon. Good morning.
Good morning. Do you have a question for Senator Hoffman?
Yes, I do. I want to talk about domestic violence, sexual assault response team. I think we need it more now that alcohol is so open. Do you work closely with CDVSA, Lyman?
I work with their budget, not directly, but we've been protecting that program from any reductions while we are tightening the belt.
There's so much domestic violence, sexual assault over here in this area, in the villages too, and I think it needs to be addressed.
Well, I'll go ahead. I'll talk to the director and see if she has any specific recommendations. I know that the governor said that is a priority, and he...
I know Lori Hoganen. I worked with her. She's a good director.
Yeah, they just changed the director, the statewide director, the governor did.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And I will follow up with the statewide director, too, because I had specific concerns when the governor had replaced the past director. She was a longtime director of the treatment center there in Bethel, and she moved on to statewide office. And I was concerned that we move in the right direction on reducing domestic violence, not only in the YK Delta and in Bethel, but throughout the state. And they assured me that was going to happen, and I asked for semi-annual reports from the director to give to me personally, so that I'm monitoring that. So that I did have that call directly with the chief of staff of the governor.
Thank you, Helen. And now on the line we have Moses Peter calling from Tulixac. Hi, Moses.
Hello.
Hi, Moses. Can you turn your radio down? I can hear it in the background.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Thank you. What's your question for Senator Hoffman?
Senator Hoffman? Hello. My name is Moses Peter from Tulixac. Senator,
yes,
are you there?
Yes, I am here, Moses.
Hi. Good morning. Thank you very much for your talk show. Your Senate Bill 18, last time when you were in the calling, so... if I did hurt you right, you told us that there's going to be some revision. Did you make any change to your bill?
Yes, we did. We did have a committee substitute, and if you call, if you get an address, we could mail you a copy of that substitute. It's more specific to addressing the borough option and refining it, because the last one they had referred to some taxes, but that was all current law. We're not advocate, and they said they had to draft it that way, and I pushed them, and I think many of those issues have been addressed, but in no way does the borough that is being formed look at taxing individuals. It talks specifically about taxing either a PILT or a non-renewable resource. Non-renewable resources are things like oil, gold, and these sort of things. And it does not levy anything on property or fisheries or personal income or anything else.
The Kashkuvin Corporation, but my understanding, and I may be wrong, also have, maybe they deliberated to have their own borough system. What are your thoughts if they go that route.
That route is still available to them. It makes it a little bit more complicated because that option is in state law, and I'm not taking that away. It would have to be worked out on how the because they're looking at the utilization of the Donlin Creek resource as well. So the question is, the resource there is a resource that is owned by the Chilista Corporation and all the Chilista shareholders. So what I'm putting forward is an option that the Chilista shareholders could possibly look at taxing or coming up with a payment in lieu of taxes of that resources, and all the people of the region could benefit potentially by lowering their energy costs.
The Nyack mining block, from my understanding, it is managed by BLM, and it has been there for so many years. And Chilista also have subsurface rights in that area. What are your thoughts about the Nyack mining block?
Well, all I know is that a doctor owns the sub drills up there. I don't know how he received the subsurface rights and got those. That might be something that he's negotiated with the Chilista Corporation as well. But I don't really have any specific knowledge about that operation.
Is there, within the Nyack mining block area, are there any proposal within the YK National Wildlife Refuge possibly of opening a mining company in the area of Bogus Creek?
I have not heard anything to that effect.
Okay. Thank you very much, Senator. I do appreciate your work.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Thank you, Moses. And just to clarify something, Senator, that you said about some changes that you made to the proposed SB 18 about creating a new type of energy borough in the region. So a change was made to specify that homeowners, property owners could not be taxed under this borough. Only natural resources could be taxed.
Right. It doesn't say what is exempt. It says what is allowed. And the only one that is allowed by this resource bureau is non-renewable resources.
And we have another caller on the line, Wesley from Neposkiak. Hi, Wesley.
Good morning, Senator.
Good morning.
Quite a bit, tribal organizations try to, ritual corporations try to establish a regional tribal government for that purpose. You're trying to do there is creating a borough, and for that purpose of taxation, the mining there at Donlin. But I'd like to give you an idea on fiscal year reconciliation and PILT. Some villages misses out due to a city council not active or doesn't know it's their duty to work on budget. In this case, when the village misses out on its right to funding, I would like to see something worked out by our district legislator for village corporations under ANCSA to receive it, the allocated funding that was designated to village city that way. That way, the funding will help the village financially, since our village corporations buy bulk fuel, being the provider or vendor to fuel sales. This way, it could lower the rates for everyone, whether it's fuel or grocery. That's my idea, sir.
The specific solution to reducing the energy costs under this particular piece of legislation would be decided by the board and dependent upon how much money they had. So those specific ideas would be decided by the elected officials. If you're talking about federally recognized tribes and what they may do, all of that is under the jurisdiction of the federal government. But I do know that communities that have formed, native communities, governments that have formed, used to not have revenue sharing. And when I rewrote the legislation, I included those communities so that they are recognized and receive revenue sharing. We call it community assistance today.
Yeah, my idea was about this revenue sharing and the pill that was missed out by villages to be something worked out that either way the village, you know, the village would get that money. You know, we not only have the village city, but we also have the village corporations that could, you know, if it worked out, if they get that fine, yeah.
Well, we the state of Alaska don't have any control over corporations. They were formed under ANCSA, and they are profit corporations. And what those corporations do with their investments and their dividends or profits are decided by their board of directors.
Yeah, okay. That was just my idea, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Wesley. Next on the line, Roy Williams from Akiak. Hi, Roy.
Hi, Lyman. Have a good...
Hi, Roy.
Conversation here. And people have been requesting and really wanting to have more time instead of the half hour that you're spending time, because we consider this talk show with you and the other elected officials to be very important. The main thing that I wanted to ask you about was, do you have a website that specifically states that only the non-renewable resources are going to be taxed from this new regional, and they have it specified in a website where people can be very assured, because that's the main issue is being in the region from where it's really poor regional compared to the other regions. Is taxing without ability to pay, it's going to create some real big impact into, you know, people getting their property taken, and that's something that we as a people do not want to make it happen. Thank you, Lyman Hoppen.
Thank you, Roy. Number one, the next radio show will try to get an hour, if possible. Number two, none of my legislation is looking at taxing the people out in the YK Delta. But for access, I think we do have a toll-free number, and we'll leave that. I'll have my staff leave it with Anna Rose. And then there is a website, an electronic newsletter that people can subscribe to on the internet, and we produce that newsletter once a week and update everyone, and we talk about the legislation and what is happening in Juneau. And I would encourage everyone that is interested to get a hold of that website, and they could call here, or I'll probably end up advertising in the Delta Discovery or the Thunder Drums with an address where people can get subscribed to that on a weekly basis. But I've been producing that that electronic newsletter for well over 10 years. Thank you for that inquiry.
Thank you. You have a good day.
Thank you.
Thank you, Roy. And Senator Lyman Hoffman, thank you so much for spending time with us this morning. We will have another legislative call-in show next week with Representative Zach Fansler. Senator Hoffman, thank you.
Thank you very much. It's always good to hear from people back home.
Thank you to everyone who called in, who emailed in questions. We appreciate you, and we will be back with you next week. This is KYUK.